Buenas noches, señores y señoritas y señores. ¿Cómo está usted? ¿Usted? ¿Está bien? Yo hablo español muy malo. Yo quiero hacer discurso. Get on the telephone. All right, we are live, and I am, after having a little fun with you on the opening, I am still sounding the depths of the shortwave listening audience. I have good news again today. We have, as I've said, purchased and paid in full the $540,000 plus add-ons for the first shortwave transmitter, a brand new Continental. We have already in Anguilla, sitting there in its container, waiting to be installed. A AM transmitter. I do not intend to tell you the wattage yet, because why announce to the devil what we're going to do? Or which AM it is going to expand. We have another, and that's paid for in full, tuned to the proper frequency and shipped. And sitting there. We have another transmitter paid for in full, tuned, sitting in a container in a Midwestern city, ready to be shipped. That's two more AM transmitters. We have another that we paid cash for today in full, sitting in another Midwestern city. It will be moved, no doubt, tomorrow or the next day to be tuned to the frequency we wanted. That's three. We have another on hold that we are ready to pay for. That's four. We have two more sitting in another place, ready to be paid for. That's six. And I repeat, the first, which would make a total of seven, is the new Continental shortwave transmitter paid for in full, sitting in its container, ready to be shipped. Now, I'm doing my part with Secret Six. We have bought and paid for an additional 4 acres approved by the government and paid the additional 15% on the full purchase price. The land at about $160,000, 4 additional acres at $50,000 an acre, which is very reasonable in that island where land is so difficult to purchase, immediately adjacent to the 10 acres that comprise the Caribbean Beacon, increasing our acreage to 14, and we have started the process to add another purchase of additional acreage in excess of that which just purchased. We have experienced a power outage on the satellite last night and fired up a state-of-the-art tuned to any frequency within the spectrums that, or any wattage within the spectrums below and above any that we would need of a fancy state-of-the-art portable generator that some of you may have noticed sitting at King's House 1 that we may or may not, depending upon the power needs and changes that are going on now in the power service to Anguilla, ship to Anguilla. If not, we'll use it on the network as we did last night to fire up the generator when the power went out at King's House 1 and took the satellite off the air. And some of you quickly found the value of shortwave. We are marching ahead with Secret Six. What are you doing? And I've been telling you, you cannot count on Channel 30. You cannot count on Channel 38. You cannot count on any broadcast source that relays us, except those that we own. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the prince of the governments of the air does not want us on the air taking this message to the whole wide world. We know the spiritual battle. We prepare for the spiritual battle. Any link in our communication chain controlled by someone not committed to this battle, not called to this battle, not prepared for this battle, not knowing who the enemy is, can never be a secure foundation and cannot be anything but a potential target of Satan to break the chain of communication. Now, just like when we went off the air last night, we worked and we got back on. Some truck hit a power pole. We were able, while we were firing up the generator, to hook up phone patches to the shortwave transmitters and continue to broadcast. I'm not going to give up on television. The satellite will stay a part of our necessary communication link, and that's why it's Double Portion Month, our payback time and appreciation for the ministry from satellite. But the one sure thing that guarantees we stay connected is a shortwave radio. A lot of you are unsophisticated, and I don't mean, and you know I never talk down to my audience. I don't mean to now. But the United States has not been an area with wide shortwave listening usage. Other countries lack a trust in their government-controlled broadcast entities, and there is the ostensible freedom of the press here that has made shortwave usage not a necessary part of our lives. Other countries, that's not the case. But in this country, as I stay on television, we obviously cannot be on a station in every city 24 hours a day. Whatever television time you pick up, if you want to keep up on the teaching, catch up on the teaching on many subjects I'm not teaching on now that we've taught on over the last 17 years, we will be on shortwave 24 hours a day and are now on multiple frequencies. We are testing now in transition and in anticipation of Anguilla, because Anguilla will have a powerful signal further east than anything other than the signal off Mount Hermon in Israel, to coordinate with the various broadcast units to plan the frequencies to give worldwide coverage. Shortwave, therefore, guarantees every city in America now, and every city in the world ultimately, will be able to pick us up 24 hours a day. If you are a beneficiary of this ministry, if you're beginning to understand that it's not an accident that you made contact, that God has called you and to us has been given the great privilege of taking the light that opens God's Word to the whole world, then get a short wave and join the world band. That gives me the assurance we'll stick together. As you know, I'm in serious and heavy and consistent and weekly dental work and cannot be live as often as I have been in the past and will be in the future. But when I'm here, I want to sound the depths to see how widespread the shortwave coverage is. Don't feel neglected. Feel benefited and fortunate if you have access by television. But don't count on it. Get the insurance and don't wait until the screen goes black by having a shortwave radio and joining the world band. You can be a king's house, you can be a king's dish, you can be a king's tither in a king's house or at a place of a king's dish, and you can be a king's house and a king's tither who's also a world band. Now, come on. We haven't been live for two nights. I need to know that you're there. There's a good contingent of voices of faith. Get on the telephone. We have been teaching in Ephesians about the election and calling of God. A much misunderstood and even more much neglected to the tragedy of the church teaching of truth aright. It's mind-boggling. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. According to the good pleasure of his will. Are you starting to catch on to that? Learning not to trifle with it? Well, I always look through any verse of Scripture at the rest of the book, because no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. Now, let me go back to Romans. We were in the 9th chapter. You want to turn there? Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? If those he hasn't called, are acting like the uncalled, or hardening their heart, because he cooperates in the hardening. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? The called are called, and the hardened are hardened. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? That is kind of an intelligent response. Who art thou? I mean, we're talking about somebody that before the world was reformed and before he spoke and nothing became the magnitude of the universes, the galaxies, and all that reality now encompasses, before he ever did that creative act, he chose out of the stream of Adam's descendants those that he would make his children and those that he wouldn't. And you're just waking up to the truth and finding out that's what he's been doing? And you're going to say that's not fair? How many universes have you built? Little speck in his creation that he chose to make his a part of his masterpiece, and you're going to reply against God? Have not the potter or power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another into dishonor? Now skip on over to the 10th chapter. Brethren, my heart's desire, Paul says, in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, you ever encountered any Christians like that? Full of zeal, but just stupid. For I bear them record. He recognizes it. Give them credit. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know any fundamentalists like that? You know any legalists like that? It's already getting hot in here, Reggie. Better turn the air conditioning on. He turned it off. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So apparently, there is such a thing as your own righteousness. The other passages make it clear it doesn't count much with God. I used to teach a class in a Christian college many years ago, and I used as a textbook a book written by the head of one of the evangelical denominations entitled Beyond Conformity, in which he very accurately portrayed the majority of Christianity as enculturated Christians. They grow up, they have zeal, it's beat into them. They learn how to act like a Christian. And they go about to establish their own righteousness. Laying the law on you. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, not submitting unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that literally faitheth, stretch out believeth, and put faitheth in. It's a derivative of pisteo, which means more than just to believe. It's to act on the belief and sustain the action because of confidence in God's faithfulness to his word. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Which means you fall short one iota, 1 second, whether by ignorance or failure to perform what you know, perfection is marred, and to be guilty of one shortfalling is to be guilty of the whole law. And that's Moses' righteousness. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt faith, literally, not believe, faith in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, literally, profession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now you take those verses out of context, then anybody that confesses with the mouth and faith, not just believe, faith, the devil believes and trembles, but that's not faith. Faith in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth or faitheth unto righteousness. For the scripture saith, whosoever, oh boy there, if thou shalt confess, thou shalt faith, with the heart faith, with the mouth confess or profess, whosoever, that lets everybody in. Well, stop right there. I could say to you, there's a big if there. Those who confess and faith with their hearts, and I put the condition that Jesus put in, no man cometh to the Father save the Spirit draw him. That's the condition precedent existentially. That's why not everybody, including tens of millions who've heard this verse and not confessed, not faithed, not faithed on him. Because there's no Spirit drawing them. But leave it alone, you can sort of paint a broad brush. For there's no difference between the Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, whosoever. I'll bet you some of you have been talking about Ephesians to people you know. You ought to quit talking to those people. And they're throwing this verse at you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right. But no man cometh to the Father save the Spirit draw him. Unless the Spirit who chose before the foundation of the world puts the motivation there to call, they're not calling. Look. A moron could figure out that if this is all there is to it, call on him, get that behind you. Get on God's tally sheet. Au, au, au. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now this is text without context. Or context literally means with text. Text must have that which is with it. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not faith? How shall they faith in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, what about those that are hearing us now take this message for the first time, and they couldn't hear without a preacher, and thank God we're going to be the preacher that takes the word to the whole world? This word, not just any word. What about them? Those that died 5 minutes before Secret Six was complete and we hit their town. What's the difference between those that God hasn't called in a linear way from those that God hasn't called in a horizontal way? Let me explain that. It's pretty clear from Ephesians that in the stream of mankind, there's a lot of them at any given time, horizontally on the time frame, that aren't called. Moses was called, Pharaoh wasn't. Indeed, Pharaoh was chosen to be an example of what happens to hardened hearts. That's horizontal. Split the time stream. Some call, some not. Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Flip it around vertical. 9:53, some not called. 9:54, some called. I just turned it on. Who art thou, old man, that resisteth or questions God? If he chose you before the world were formed, he chose this ministry before the world were formed, he timed this ministry before the world were formed. Well, then we don't have to do anything. Baloney. You can choose not to respond to God's call. You can choose to not respond to God's timing, which is part of his call. That's why Hebrews warns you not to wait one day too long. I don't want to shoot anybody. This is a lighter. Better turn it on, or I'll have new rumors circulating on me. We got a chief of police in Los Angeles who couldn't carry a gun until a day or two ago. Or until today, I guess. We really move fast in law enforcement in this state. New chief of police in Los Angeles can't carry a concealed weapon. Thank God I didn't find myself in a place where he needed to protect me. That was a lighter. You don't need a permit for this on television to light my cigar. Glad I clarified that. Now let me get to more profound things again. God's timing was set as part of God's call. Some of you, I preached it Sunday. Some of you have been trifling too long with your decisions. You don't have the right of decision. And when your spirit bears witness with his spirit, quit arguing with it and quit trifling with it. We'll get back to Ephesians 3, where Paul is astounded that he was chosen to take this message. We will move on to the chapter of the Domata. God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. We have a mission to accomplish. Now get your priorities straight. How shall they preach except they be sent? Boy, now you know why they're so much poor preaching going on. Now just think about it for a moment over your lifetime. How much preaching have you really heard that's had any effect on your life, turning lights on, bringing you to an understanding of what your calling means? God sends the preacher. God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I still insist. The movers and shakers in spiritual things in the history of the church are not Bible school products and seminary products who start there and call themselves to preach, but rather men and women that God has nailed as he nailed the Apostle Paul, and then they do their studying. If I ever started a training center for ministers, I wouldn't let anybody in that hadn't proven their ministry before they got there. The school I'd form would be to add to their weaponry after their calling is already demonstrated. I'm adding to my weaponry every day. I didn't train to be a minister. Thank God I early on got some foundation in the Bible languages that I was able to continue. But most of what I'm bringing forth from Scripture is the result of applied training in other fields and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring forth that which has become my instrument of stewardship, the communication of His Word as a result of God's calling. Now, I didn't fill myself up like a can of tomatoes ready to pop and blow off and say, God, there's so much in me, now call me so I can spew it out. The Bible shows most people that have been called by God didn't want what He called them to do. But He made them willing pretty easy. If you want me to continue, get on the telephone. Leave that picture right there for a moment. How many of you, 3 years ago, let's go back 7 years, when you responded to my call, in which I said, better try and fail than not try at all, to preserve a witness, a symbol, a presence of men and women of faith, a testimony in the heart of the city of the angels, 7 years ago. And a lot of you sacrificed greatly, all of which is credited in eternity. And if you don't faint, you will bear all rewards. Which include, and I'm telling you, none of what's happening now would have happened. God's, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. What we thought would be the place was not God's choice. But we have a better place, much better. The most important symbol that got my attention in the first place, now against every odd that would say it was impossible to achieve, the Jesus Saves signs, once again tower over the top of the cathedral on the skyline of Los Angeles. And how many of you dreamed when you made those sacrifices that you would be looking at a map of the Gulf of Guinea on the west coast of Africa and see that many that are being fitted and framed into the body of this ministry in such a brief time. I mean, to me, that is staggering as I look at that map. I wish I could show it to the people on short waves. These are people, I mean, we're looking at the Gulf of Guinea on the west coast of Africa, listening to us every day. And that's just the beginning. That's just a small piece of the world. I mean, there's still people that are crying in their soup because we lost 99.5 FM. I mean, the hill still sits there. The transmitter is going to be shipped in the next few weeks to Anguilla. The FM station 100.1 in Anguilla is putting out about 4,000 watts. We'll be packaging that same FM transmitter and hanging it on the tower, shipping it to Anguilla. Who needs 99.5? When I'm done, you can go anywhere in Los Angeles and tune on two or three frequencies. They'll come in as strong as and stronger than 99.5 FM. And ain't no way those people around the Gulf of Guinea could listen to 99.5 FM. I mean, wake up to what God's doing. I'm going to continue the teaching in the next half hour. I want to keep encouraging you. I mean, I want them to swing that camera way over to Australia, New Zealand. Let's just take a look at New Zealand. And I'm going to ask the same question. How many of you would have dreamed that close in on New Zealand? And don't show it till he's got it. Come on, director, stay with me until he zooms in on New Zealand. They're not there yet. I want to ask you how many of you dreamed that people would be listening to us in faraway New Zealand, Japan. They're starting to zoom it in. All up and down New Zealand. I never dreamed when I was in Christ Church many years ago when the kids still zoomed around the square in front of that church and old model American cars that I would be sitting in a chair here in the studio in Glendale, California, and they could listen to me in Christ Church, Wellington. Inwardly, a part of me has bled ever since I've been pastor here, because I announced when I came, my parish is the world. Well, there it is at our feet. All we have to do is get our priorities straightened out and rise to the challenge. You may say, well, others are there. I mean, I can turn to other networks that are taking the gospel to the world. Well, what gospel? I ain't on those networks. I mean, there's got to be something wrong with them, or they would ask me to be on that network. I mean, they got all kinds of imitators of me. My message is refried and rebaked and repeated. That's good. I'm glad that they're reaching the world. But every one of you that have been called to this ministry, why are you listening to me?
Why don't you just turn the knob? You know, in most cities, you only go a little ways and you'll find another message. If that's the message, it's a message, but if that's the message, why aren't you listening to that? Then who are you to say the whole world shouldn't hear it? And who are you to say, having been given much, much is required of you, and you are called to respond to God's sending and God's calling to get the voice of this preacher to the world? I've said 1,000 times, there's one thing that makes this network different than any other. It's different. If you can hear what God is enlightening me, and no new truths, I said to a group of my staff people in the pastor's round table a couple of nights ago, I'm not giving any new truths. I was asking their response, because I don't get this chance too often. I read your messages, but not, I can't respond to every message and immediately get a response from you. So I had them in front of me. I said, now that you've been listening to the teaching on Ephesians, and they told me how it opened their eyes to a fresh understanding of their calling and the responsibilities attached to it, I said, is there any other way to interpret Ephesians than the way I've been doing it? I mean, somebody called in the other night and said, I read up to the 4th chapter, but I missed the Accords. So I must need a domata. I'd feel real uncomfortable, I said to those staff people in the round table, I said, I'd feel real uncomfortable if I had been sitting in front of you the last several weeks saying, I received a vision, and this is what God tells me He did, that He chose you before the world were formed. Oh, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable getting that vision, knowing that it's confirming what He's already said in His Word, but if I didn't have the Word, and if I were building what I'm teaching on some new truth that God had given me, I'd feel pretty uncomfortable. Well, my ministry has always been to take God's Word, and I've come to know something in the agony of many years delivering His Word. The hourglass has tipped until I cannot say most of the time. Now it's about half of my ministry, I can say. I carried the pain every time I taught on God's Word of thinking I was insulting my audience by telling them what was so obvious. They must have already seen it and heard it 10,000 times. Because it was so clear to me, I could not believe I was enlightening anybody. I've now come to know in recent years, I mean, that'd be awful dumb. You din it into me. That God has gifted me not to see new truths, but to see the truths that were there. That once you pull the scales off, an insight comes that you're... I don't worry about you changing your mind once you see it. There ain't no other way to interpret it. You see it now, having been enlightened. You don't see what I've told you, you see what was there that I pointed out. I know where that gift comes. I didn't learn that at Stanford. I learned a lot of things at Stanford. And I've applied myself and gained a lot of tools to sort out the fluff and distortions that cover up the solid truth that remains unchanged. But that's the ultimate test of the domata. A man's gift maketh room for him. My sheep know my voice. You recognize the truth when you hear it. Quit fighting against it. Quit listening to such nonsense. Well, you know, I can't quarrel with the teaching, but I can't get past the cigar. That's why I put the cigar up there. The truth doesn't mean any more to you than that. You're willfully blinded. You can't see the truth through smoke. You'd rather stay blind than see the truth through smoke? Well, I'm in the sea drowning. Life jacket lands in the water next to you. I ain't going to take it because he was smoking a cigar when he threw it. Pretty stupid, isn't it? Another guy throws a hot air balloon out. You look up on the edge of the ship, he's dressed in white and wearing angel wings. Man, you grab the hot air balloon. Because the messenger was dressed right. Well, it'll pop and you'll sink. And the people with brains took my life jacket in spite of my cigar. And I'm floating home. I'm being ludicrous, but it's... That's why I smoke this cigar. I don't want anybody to think I'm a fundamentalist. Spurgeon, smoke, Moody smoke. And don't lay your chemical and health arguments on me. I accept those. Shouldn't need as much white sugar as I do either. Shouldn't sleep as little as I do, and shouldn't work as hard as I do. Feel a lot healthier when I hike and fish all day than when I fight the devil all day and drag myself in here to fight the demons to get his word out. Lay those trips on me, I understand those. Anything to do with spirituality, that's just common sense. That's just intelligence. It's the truth that counts. And I said to him, is there anything? Any of you got any other way of interpreting it? Well, if that's happening to you, and this is the only place it's happening to you, then God is doing something in this place right now he isn't doing somewhere else. And today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And this is the place where you have been enlightened and where you have received this witness, that you then have the responsibility that others like you that have been called in God's time waiting this enlightening. What a privilege that we can then rise to this challenge and act in God's time to do it. Now come on, get on the telephone. I'm having my engineers call WWCR in Nashville right now. We have been discussing for several days a possible change from 17560 to another frequency during the daytime. And I really appreciate the folks at WWCR. They helped us the other night in making announcements, and They're always working with us. And we intend to carefully coordinate the frequencies out of Anguilla so that we do not, in terms of power coverage, fail to take advantage of the fact that we can aim certain frequencies at certain times of the day to fill in spots or gaps that are not as clear. And part of that long-range planning is a discussion about a change of frequency to a daytime frequency to where we're only on two frequencies, one at night, one at day, which is simpler. I would say the plan is about 80% to 90% in place, but somehow through a breakdown in communication, and I would guess because I had to send staff peoples on an emergency trip today fast to seal the transmitter that we bought today, that somehow or other communication broke down, and they are on WWCR announcing a change. They're doing it in good faith, but I've asked them to stop announcing it until I announce it first, because that plan is not yet certain until I have a chance to talk to all parties involved to make sure that any switch now does not affect our European and African coverage because of the people that I've just been talking about that have joined in the family. I thought we would be on in Anguilla sooner. I told you I'm going to do it whether people fulfill their secret six commitments or not. And Satan has fought it. Some have fainted. Some have forgotten that you resist the devil, he flees from you. You hurl sacrifice, put God first, and he looks out for you. And there are some that think it's going to change, that we'll have one big sacrifice sometime and sit back and look at our exploits for Jesus and not have to do it again. Well, now, if you know anything about God's Word and have listened to anything I teach, you should be stronger now and ready to face a bigger test. So it's a good faith mistake. I'm telling you, it's not a final decision yet. So I am asking WWCR to not announce it anymore tonight or tomorrow until a final decision is in place. And so if you hear those announcements, condition it with what I'm telling you now. It is part of our master plan. The issue is whether or not this Saturday is the time. And I will tell you. Okay? And they will tell you too. But right now I don't want any more announcements. And thank you for calling in and telling me this. La Crescenta. I first heard Doc on radio. The shortwave is so much more. Victorville. Doc, my dad was a missionary to Nigeria and West Africa for 28 years. It gives me chills to see Nigeria on the map with all those pins. Now I'm also a missionary to Nigeria like my dad. As I was saying as we moved into this half hour, if someone else, and I will rejoice louder than anyone, I wish 10,000 voices were saying what I'm saying. But they aren't. Yet. God has chosen us, given a calling and an insight to open up His Word that was always there, to put Paul and his message back in the center place of Christian teaching that God put him. I mean, pay attention to God. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul did. God has commissioned us to break the traditions, and you can't put new wine in old wineskins. I'm rediscovering the old truths, as F.B. Meyer has said, but old wineskins of tradition have to be broken. For the new wine, which is the old wine, but new to this generation, to be there. And I said to my staff, am I telling you anything that isn't obvious once you see it in God's book? How come nobody else told you? We're not a part of a kaleidoscope of voices. I made a deliberate choice many years ago to give a certain voice, a single voice, that can reach out to the world with consistency, rediscovering the old truths. The price you pay by homogenization and creating a platform by every voice is the sharpness of God's truth becomes dull and bland, and in some cases confusion rules, and the shift of truth turns from the giver to the receiver, from the transmitter to the receiver. The responsibility is placed on you to referee and evaluate multiple voices. Well, if this voice shined a light that you knew was true and has opened your eyes of understanding to your calling, then let's stick together. And let's fulfill our calling to take this voice to the world. Torrance, we just went out and bought a multiband radio. We'll be listening 24 hours every day. Sounds great. New World Band 1831. Santa Monica, for those who haven't got a shortwave yet, Radio Shack has one for $59.95. You can even buy it on a time plan for $15 a month. The poorest of the poor ought to be able to do that. I agree. Another thing about shortwave. How many of you have heard the truth and wanted your family and others to hear it? Give them a shortwave radio. You couldn't give them a satellite. Most of you couldn't afford a satellite dish to give to your relatives that you love. You'd be better off get a shortwave radio for your mother than anything you could do. And regarding my opening some time ago, Buenas noches, el profesor. Un momento, por favor. Austin, Texas. La clase está aquí, bienvenidos. The class is here. Elberton, Georgia, I got 1610 for the first time on my home radio. Do you know how many million are in Puerto Rico that hear 1610 clear as a bell? Do you know how many million are in Cuba? 9785 is zeroed in on Cuba. 1610 blasts across Cuba. Milford, Connecticut, and I'm sure a lot of them were pleasantly surprised to be greeted in Spanish. Milford, Connecticut, Doc Scott, I'd like to get a World Band number. I know you're on television here, but the radio is so user-friendly. I'm listening and enjoying the teaching. Oakland, I'm on a ship right now listening on shortwave. My mom is upset because she used to watch you when you were on in Reno. We're trying to get money for a satellite dish. We were, but I think I'll get her a shortwave radio. Smart. The salt air is cleaning the brain. Dublin, Ireland. The signal is coming in the best it ever has. Dr. Scott's really doing a great job of reformation around here. He's the only teacher who puts the flesh and blood on the Bible. We're very blessed to hear the word through him. We went to Glastonbury and gave two of the books you provide on Glastonbury, who didn't even know where he was. Toftola, British Virgin Islands, listening on 690 AM. I listen every day on 690 out of the Caribbean Beacon. I want Dr. Scott to know he's my teacher. I'm proud to identify with Dr. Scott's ministry. I'm holding up his arms in prayer. Palmore, A, British West Indies, listening to the Caribbean Beacon 1610. Has been listening to Dr. Scott for some time. Wants to renew his commitments for this week. St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. I'm a young Christian and I enjoy Dr. Scott's teachings and would like to receive more of Dr. Scott's teachings, so they ordered the truth in the pulpit. You understand what God's doing? Don't take any more calls. I'm in Romans chapter 10. A backdrop elaborating, same writer, same apostle, supporting the words of God's choice before the worlds were formed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, verse 13, chapter 10, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed or faith? How shall they faith in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? It's sort of stupid to cross the hurdle and accept the fact that God called and God chose before the worlds were formed and deny God the right to choose the method to find and identify and bring forth the realization of the calling. He doesn't have to call a certain number in 1992 and the same number in 1993. We're part of God's time package. On the choice that God has a right to make, the ninth chapter, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Well, if you accept God's right to do that, what is it difficult to accept his right to choose to get the word out through a preacher? Why do you think the devil has worked so hard to discredit preachers in this electronic age? All he had to do, Satan that is find a few dressed like angels of light and use them to destroy the credibility of preachers. They're God's choice. The devil's a lot smarter than we are. I mean, most Christians are so stupid, they jump on the devil's bandwagon. Say, hit him again. Too bad the saints don't work as hard to shore up God's choice of distributing the reality of his calling as Satan does to destroy that instrument. That's why 17 years ago I came here with one of two major objectives. I would restore this church to a respect for God-ordained leadership. Regardless of what the particular individual in the position did, the position is God ordained. God set apart. How shall they call on him whom they have not faith? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How come I didn't know this? You may say. Well, you weren't listening to a sent preacher. You've been listening to those that weren't sent. How shall they preach except they be sent? I mean, what God calls a preacher and what man calls a preacher ain't necessarily the same. Spirits bear witness. Well, you know, I don't get much from my preacher, but I like the activity in this church. I Our roots are just too deep. We've been here for a long time. I mean, I could preach better than the preacher preaches, but he's sort of incidental to the church. I mean, he's there, you know, he'll be there to bury me if I die, marry my kids if they need it. Oh, I mean, I don't know how I can get by without being in a church that can marry me if I want to get married. Go to a justice of peace. When he gets done, go out and sit in the car before you do a few other things, lay your hand on a Bible and give the vow to each other. Send me your marriage license. Say, will you bless my marriage? I'll sign my name on it. You make such big deals out of peripheral matters. And you go after those peripheral things, and you never get preached to. You better find a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The only preacher I've ever known has been beating on me all the time. But God didn't send him. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Cessation of God's against us bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If it's a called preacher of God, the word of God will come alive and bring faith. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. That's what I've just been telling you. I mean, there are sound-off ministries ad infinitum, ad nauseam. There are people that think they're taking the gospel to the world. They put a transmitter on a hill somewhere, and a monkey reads the Bible. You better start getting concerned about the message that's being preached in that which you support. I mean, there are Ringling Brothers ringmasters for Jesus. What I call the ministry, who's that guy on television used to assemble everybody? I mean, his face looked like the south end of a horse going north. His head set like a box on his shoulders. And he sat there with his shoulders kind of hunched and introduced people. What was his name? Ed Sullivan. Most of you aren't old enough to know him. Ed Sullivan. There's these Ed Sullivan ministries for Jesus. They have the ability to assemble the stars. I mean, their preaching of the gospel is assembling everything from an Elvis for Jesus to a ballet dancer for Jesus. It all looks like success. Have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth. There are all kinds of sounds, you know. Not all sounds communicate what needs to be heard. Break winds for Jesus. We got to give a voice for every sound that wants to be uttered for Jesus. Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Well, their sounds and their words may not be what God once said. If you don't think what God once said is being said here, why are you listening?
And if this is what God once said, let's take it to the whole world. I ain't interested in trying to motivate you to plant transmitters all over the world for multi-sounds for Jesus. That ain't my calling. Somebody else can do it. Hallelujah. That's what you want to be a part of? Say, Levy. But if you want this certain sound to go to the world that brought life to you, then get with it.